So, it's no secret that I love Christmas. I love it. So, I've been in my mind grappling. Eric used that word a few weeks ago, grappling with so a few different concepts and thoughts that I want to present. But Eric asked me to speak, and it's December 2nd, so we're jumping into Christmas. And I hope everyone's ready for that, because Christmas started like 2 months ago. I'm not sure if you knew that or not, but it started 2 months ago. I've been on this train for a while, and it's been pretty empty until now. So, because there's a couple types of different Christmas people. There's the Christmas people that are all hyped and on it like me, okay? And we're all for, you know, all the big box stores putting out their Christmas displays early. As soon as Home Depot gets it up, I'm there. Cool. I'm in it. But other people are right after Thanksgiving, and they hate when Thanksgiving's early, because that means another week of Christmas celebrations. I started planning for Christmas a couple months ago. So the week of Thanksgiving, I looked at the weather and I said, you know what, it's going to rain the week after Thanksgiving. I got to get my lights up now. So I put my lights up and I had neighbors passing by, like, putting Christmas lights up already? And I'm like, you are behind. I am right on schedule for Christmas because I love Christmas. I love what it reminds us of. I love what it's all about. I love the season because I think that we just do Christmas right. I just think that we do. And I love it. I just love it. I wonder what type of Christmas people you guys are. We have sweater people. Where's Jim? Oh, he's home? Dang it. We're missing our sweater guy. Who else has a sweater on? Christmas sweater. There's a red one. Christmas sweater. Sweater people. There's that counts too. Christmas spirit right there. We have people who don't like the shopping, and that's on their mind. I can't go to the store. I just can't. It's Christmas. Can't go to the store. It's gonna be too crazy. Don't worry. I don't like going there during Christmas either. No one knows how to drive. It's ridiculous, and no one knows how to park either. So then there's the people who have found a way around it, and they shop Cyber Monday. And there's people who how many? I don't know with the parents. How many people are doing Advent calendars? The days up to Christmas, leading up to Christmas, yep. Advent calendar people, there we go. Riley and I dropped the ball on that so far. So if anybody has an extra Advent calendar, we need one. With all my planning months ahead, we're still dropping the ball. Yeah, I love Christmas. I love everything about it. So we're going to start it off now. I hope Eric next week is prepared to talk about Christmas because it starts now. But here's what I like about it. As a kid, Christmas was just fun because of the reasons why it's fun for a kid. You get gifts, and for me and my sisters, even you know, the thing with a dysfunctional family is Christmas is sometimes the one time of the year where it benefits you because you have five or six different Christmases and five or six different trees with gifts under them. And so you got grandparents on one side, grandparents on the other, and if you have a step-parent, you have those sets of grandparents, and then you have it at home. And then you have, of course, all the friends that want to give gifts to you. It's a Super Bowl of holidays. That's what it is. And so as a kid, everyone knows why kids love Christmas, you know? And, you know, it's our job to make sure that they love Christmas too. I pounded in our students. Hunter, hey, there's Hunter. He says he wasn't going to be out here today. Hunter is like, oh, you're speaking today? Yeah, I'm speaking today. What's it to you? You talk about Christmas? But yeah, I'm going to talk about Christmas. Of course I'm going to talk about Christmas. I'm supposed to get pumped up for it. Anyways. But as I got older, Christmas has taken on a slightly different meaning. And it's become more. Because the reality of Christmas, the reality of Jesus' birth and all that's encompassed in that, has been paired with this season. Right? And so the truths of Christmas are year-round. They're daily for us, right? We know this. We hold on to them daily. We're reminded about them. But the Christmas season highlights the reality of Jesus coming in flesh. It reminds us of the truths we hold on to for the rest of the year. And so today, what I'm going to share are the truths that are highlighted for me this season, that I carry with me the rest of the year, that we carry with us the rest of the year. They're highlighted in this season. The one thing that's highlighted in my mind is Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. I'm going to break those down. What, what that means to us. When we take that truth and we know God is with us, what does that mean for how we live our lives daily? What does that mean for the rest of the year? What reality does that open up for us? So we're going to talk about this morning. You don't have to turn here, and Mike, you don't have to put it up, but Isaiah 7:14, it's prophesied, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." And of course, we know in Matthew 1:23, I'm just throwing these out there, just so you know that it's in there. It says it in here, okay? "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. God with us. So we're going to break that apart. God with us, for me, means joy. We can take joy. Now, if you want, go ahead and turn with me to Luke 1:39. Luke 1:39. Where are the pages flipping and the app scrolling and all that stuff? Mike's doing it for you. Okay, so it says, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary," remember Elizabeth has who? Who is inside of her? John the Baptist. Yeah, John the Baptist is in there. And that's another whole story in itself, which we're actually going to touch on in a minute. "And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary," we're in verse 31, "the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed, and that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.'" So the baby inside of her leaped for joy. Why? Because Jesus came on the scene. And little side note, this is the first time that we see John witness about Jesus. In the womb, he's already doing it. He's saying, Jesus is here. And Jesus is here, so what does that do? Did she shrivel up? Did she run away? No, leaps for joy. God is with us year round. We have joy. We hold on to it as a truth in our life. Hold on to your joy. It said again in Luke 2, so we're going to go to Luke 2. We're going to read verses 8 through 20. And this is when the angel comes to the shepherds. They're there tending their flock and all of that. And so starting in verse 8, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Joy. You don't need to be afraid. There's no other reaction here but joy. We take joy with us year around. Us. Because it's for all people. I run into sometimes, and I know we all do, those moments when it feels like we've lost control of whether it's our emotions or our reactions to life's circumstances. And when I catch myself in that moment, usually, I respond correctly. And I'll either ask my wife, or just with me and the Lord, I'll begin to pray to correct that reaction. Because I know that joy is a part of my life every day, all day, for the whole year, not just this season. Right? It's easy, like, during this time, because everyone's decorating, the lights are all over the place. You know, we get that happiness inside of us because we see the lights and all of that. People in my neighborhood don't really put lights up that much. And we're like a beacon of hope and joy in our little community, I feel. We're also the first house people see. We're also some of the youngest people in that little community. So that probably does it right there. Because we have two stories. Yeah, it's easy to kind of put on this facade of joy during this time. But then instantly Christmas ends and we're in the midst of winter and it's just a bleak season right after Christmas, right? But Christmas isn't meant just to be celebrated this one time of year. It's meant to remind us of this truth that we carry with us for the remainder of the year. That joy is ours for the taking every day. Right? Amen? It's ours. So that's when we don't have it, we lean on our brothers and sisters to help us remind us of this truth. It's yours, daily. And if I'm not walking in joy, if my life isn't filled with joy, then I am not living with all that the Lord has offered me. He offers me all of this amazing stuff, His Holy Spirit, which produces this joy in us. We have a tendency to cut off the production line and say, no. But this situation is going on. I can't have joy in the midst of this situation. It doesn't matter. God with us. Joy. It's ours all the time. Luke 2, 8 through 20, it continues. And I'm going to start in, verse 15. And the angels go away. So the angels went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem. See this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." There's an idea. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, the baby, lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told to them concerning this child. So they let Mary know. Mary and Joseph know, hey, this is what happened to us. This is the message that we received. This is why we're here. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She took it with her. Everyone else was like, what the heck? And she grappled with it for a little bit. She held it with her. And that's what we're to do. So let's do as Mary does and take this with us, right? I don't at any point expect, you know, someone, there's these truths laid out all throughout Scripture, and I don't just expect myself to read over it and then suddenly say, okay, cool, I got it. I'm good. I got it. Stephen says take joy. Scripture says take joy. I got it. I'm good. No, grapple with it. Ponder it in your heart. Take it with you. Allow the Holy Spirit to continue to do His work inside of you to help us understand this and claim it as our own. Take joy. God is with you. Is with us all the time. Emmanuel, God with us, because of this truth, we can take joy. As produced by the Holy Spirit inside each of us, it's yours, it's ours, it's for all people, because we can all experience Emmanuel, God with us. It's for all of us. So Emmanuel's highlighted for me in Christmas, and when I think God with us, I'm thinking of the immense joy, but Emmanuel also, God with us also means we have hope. If you're taking notes, that's your next one. Joy and then hope. We have hope. And this is a strange thing that Zechariah, who is the father of John the Baptist, after he's born, you remember, while John the Baptist is in the womb, he's not allowed to talk. Zechariah, he's not allowed to talk. And so... But after John is born, Zechariah then says this prophecy concerning John the Baptist and all these other things. And so we're gonna read through this whole prophecy just so that we can get to the last verse, because I don't want to throw us out of context or anything like that. So, if you would, Mike, we're gonna start at where are we? Luke 1. So we're Luke 1, Luke 1, 67. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord of God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the land of all those who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember the holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord and prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercies of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. This is the verse I want to get to give light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. It's this one line in verse 79 that gets me. To give light to those who sit in darkness. You ever wonder what you do if it's pitch black? What do you do? Like, if you don't have any light, what else do you do? Just sit there. That is a picture of a people utterly without any hope. Nothing there. They're in complete darkness. We got this new freezer, right? And if you guys checked it out, it can get scary for a minute. Before we turned it on, everybody wants to go in there. Ooh, look how big it is. It's great. It is great. But I went in there too, just check it out. The door is shut behind me. It's not on. That's why I say it's not on. Pitch black in there. There's no light in there at all. And I don't think I've ever experienced darkness like that before, where nothing is getting in. And then another time, Trevor went in there. I said, Trevor, you got to check this out, dude. It is freaky in here, okay? And I was like, I'm going to close the door on you. And he said that when he went in there, he spun himself around. And he could not. He was so disoriented. He's like, if someone went in there and spun themselves around when it was on, you would have one, even in that small 8x12 footprint, you would have a hard time finding the door. But imagine just being in a world of darkness. What do you do? Well, you know what you do? You start searching for hope, right? That's what everyone starts doing. And some people say, you know what? You got to go earn that coin. You got to go earn that money. That's where your hope's going to come from. And they go, and they're searching, and they put all their efforts in. Ends up blank. You're still in darkness. Doesn't change it. And there's all these avenues that people are saying, you know, there's thousands of books written by it. You know why you feel so hopeless. It's because of this. You know why you feel so hopeless. It's because of this. Well, no, it's described here perfectly. It's because you're in darkness and you need light. Right? There's a very obvious solution to this problem. You're in darkness and you need light. Money doesn't give you light. Happiness doesn't give you light. Good relationships don't give us light. Having all the friends in the world don't give us light. There's only one person in that circumstance who gives us light, and that's Jesus. Without hope, our only option is to sit there, do nothing. Describes the people that's just chilling there. But yet, we live in a world where we pass by people who are in that state all of the time. And there are times throughout the year, even as those who claim Jesus as our own, where we fool ourselves and reject the light, and we look around and think we're hopeless, even though we have access to the light. Without light, we may try, but eventually find out that our only hope is light, nothing else. So let's turn to John 1:1. We're all familiar with John 1:1. I love with our students when we start discipling them, I start in John 1. And we go over the whole thing, and we're going to go over the whole thing. We're going to read it through. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It always trips me up for a second. I've got to rethink that for a second. It's worded strange, but we understand. Without him, without the word, nothing was made. Got it. Cool. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Crazy. The answer to the darkness is light, and darkness can't overcome the light. It's very obvious. So when the light enters into our world, the darkness is gone and the hopelessness is gone, and now we have hope. So Emmanuel, God with us, we are not hopeless in our world. We aren't hopeless in our circumstances or whatever it may be. We have hope. And a lot of the times you may find that walking in living by the Spirit is a lot of times we're going and then the Spirit corrects us and it's like, why are you acting hopeless? Why are you going around moping in hopelessness? The light is here. You have it. There's no darkness. Pop on out of this. So verse 6, we're going to keep going. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. So we know this from this, that the light is very specific. We're not just talking about something that makes us happy. We're not talking about something that gives us, you know, a glimmer of potential hope or something like that. We're talking about there's one thing that is the light, one person, and it's accessed one way. The true light, which gives light, we're in verse 9, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, who believes in his name, I do, we do, we believe in his name, to us, we have been given the right to become children of God. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So we have access to the light. He is with us, God with us. We have light. We have hope in our lives. And there's no reason for us to live otherwise. Right? Because it's kind of a contagious thing. You ever been camping and it gets dark. It gets dark. For some reason, when you're camping, it's dark really fast. Like, you know, one day you're at home, the next day you go camping, and then when you're out there, it gets dark really fast like that. It's like, I don't know, it's different in the mountains or something. The sun works differently there. Have you ever noticed that as soon as it gets dark, everyone's rushing for their flashlights? And if someone can't find their light, give me your light. Give me it. I need this light. If we're out there, and we have access to the light, and we're not living as if we have access to that light, then we're just like everyone else without the light, hopeless. But there's a story here of us walking around with the light, shrouded in it. We have access to the light, and so people look at that. They're thinking, I'm hopeless, you're not. What is different? I'm sitting here, and you're out there doing stuff. Like it's no problem. I've been chasing money and my dreams and traveling the world. Yet you're the one who has hope. Something's not making sense. It's because you're in darkness and I have the light. Right? So we do a disservice to everyone around us when we too don't act and live with access to light, right? When we too live hopeless. Because when we live with hope, then we become like John, we begin to bear witness about the light. I'm not the light, but I know who is. I know where to get it. You can have it too. There's no reason to be living like this, right? And we as brothers and sisters nudge each other. Hey, remember, we have light. And then when they say, but this situation is different, you say, I don't care about the situation. I know light and dark, and here's the light. every situation. We take it with us for the rest of the year. So because Emmanuel, God with us, we have hope. I put a little note here that I don't remember. If something opposes your hope, tries to crush it, that's darkness. We know that darkness cannot overcome light, cannot overcome Christ, whom is ours. Good little note. Didn't remember that. So if something opposes our hope, if something opposes our light, that's darkness. It can't overcome it, but it tries. Because it wants you back. The freezer wants you back. It wants you to be back in the darkness. It wants you sitting there in hopelessness like everyone else. So if something's coming up against your hope, that's darkness. You, through Christ, because God with us, can overcome it. You have hope. We carry that with us for the rest of the year. We're reminded of it in this season. It's highlighted in this season, but it's for the whole year. So we have joy. We have hope because God is with us. Next thing is very obvious. Nothing is impossible. I put nothing is impossible. Probably a typo. Nothing is impossible. We're going to turn to Luke 1:26. I find it curious. I know there's something there. I should look into it more. But that the way that John the Baptist and Jesus come into the world are two amazing miracles. One a virgin and one barren. Two amazing miracles. And so this is what Scripture says about that, though. Luke 1:26, we're going to start there. And yes, again, I'm going to read another big passage of Scripture. I feel like for Christmas, that's what you do. Just read massive chunks of Scripture just to remind us of it. Okay, so we're in Luke, 1:26. Sorry, one page off. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph in the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall be call his name Jesus." Sorry there. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him to the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said the most obvious question in the world. We would all say this. Mary said, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born and will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren, was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Nothing will be impossible with God. She said, "How am I supposed to do this? I'm a virgin." He said, No, don't worry. God has this under control. And you're not the only one who's going through something miraculous. Elizabeth, also, old as she is, a son who's in her womb right now. Nothing will be impossible with God. If you have this virgin barren, it doesn't matter. You know, we as humans, what we kind of do is we see the easiest path to something, right? To get somewhere. And then we see the other paths to get somewhere. We decide which one's the easiest and take that, right? God doesn't care about no path. He makes it happen, right? We're like, how? You're like, what do you mean how? I am, right? What do you mean how? I am God. Nothing's impossible with me. And so throughout the, I mean, isn't it, can't we each have some, don't we each have something in our life where we look back on it and we're thinking, how did this happen? How did the Lord bring this about in my life? These amazing moments, miraculous things happening in our lives because God is in that situation. Because nothing is impossible with him. In talking to some of the students, I point this out to them sometimes. It's like, yeah, but you're in this situation, but don't you remember just a year ago when God did this for you? Right? Nothing is impossible with him. And we're so quick to forget. So quick to forget. Because we see just what's in front of us. But then what does the angel of the Lord do? Mary's focused in on herself, thinking, how am I? And she said, no, 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 not you. God. God, right? And so the remainder of the year, we take this with us. It's not you doing it. It's the Lord doing it. And you don't have to understand how it's done, right? The explanation for Mary conceiving a child is the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. It was like, okay, well, what about the science in that? Like, I'm struggling to understand here. No, 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 it doesn't matter. God. There's logic to God. Don't get me wrong. But it's so much greater than what we can understand. Right? We get glimpses of it. You imagine, like, the Bible, everyone says the Bible's a big book, right? We spend years and years and years studying it because one action that God does filled with 1,000 different wonders that we can look at and talk about, right? Christmas comes every year, but every year we can find new things to focus on and talk about and worship the glories of the Lord. Because God, there's a logic behind how God does things. I forget what the word is for it. But it's not ours. It's not ours. His ways are so much greater than ours. I'm a virgin, it doesn't matter. I'm old and barren, it doesn't matter. I don't have money, it doesn't matter. Look at these situations, it doesn't matter. Because God with us. For nothing will be impossible with God. Saying, don't you see who I am? Don't you see how I do things? There's no such thing as the easy way with God because it makes no difference. It makes no difference. And sometimes we find ourselves getting in the way. In fact, a lot of Scripture is God's people trying to do stuff for him and getting in the way. And he works around and he figures it out. He's like, gosh, can't you guys understand? I am God. I will make it happen. You don't understand my ways, my logic. And so we take this with us for the remainder of the year. Nothing is impossible with God. Doesn't matter what's in front of us, what hurdle stands there, nothing's impossible. So we hold on to that truth. So the only thing we have to do is remember to take that situation and put God into it. So we have joy. God is with us. We take joy. God is with us. We have hope. God is with us. We are reminded that nothing is impossible. There's my last one. These ones are like, yes, great, but we can't leave this season without remembering that we need a Savior. God with us, this season, Jesus coming into the world, reminds us that he came here to die for us. He came because we needed a Savior. Luke 2:11 says, for unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. In John 3:16, all this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He gave his Son so that we could be saved, because we need saving. I can't go save any one of you right now. Best of my knowledge, you're all perfectly fine at the moment where you're at. You go and save someone, who's in danger, who's at risk. We need a Savior. We take that with us all year around. Hebrews 2, 14 through 15 lays it out clearly. So since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same thing. He came to earth as a child in flesh because we're of flesh. To save us, he had to have flesh. So that through his death, he might destroy the one who has power over death, that is the devil. So he came, save us, and it says, and deliver those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. He came to free us because we were slaves. And if you haven't claimed that truth, he's here to free you because you're a slave to sin and death. We must not forget the reason for his coming, to save a people who needed saving. That's us, every single one of us. We are in need of saving. This is the Christmas story. We celebrate our Savior who has come to fight and win on our behalf. Yeah, to fight and win on our behalf. We have victory because God is with us. But God is with us. We have this season that we celebrate his coming. We have to remember he came because we need him. We need him. That has to be at the forefront of our minds daily. So we walk out that door, we wake up, we need a Savior, each of us. And so that allows us this season. You know, we have joy, we have hope, we understand nothing's impossible with God. But we put on that cloak of humility, remembering we need him. We're nothing without him. We're dead, we're slaves without him. Amen? Okay. So Emmanuel, God with us. We're entering into this season. What we have, like, still 4 weeks until Christmas, 3.5, something like that. Plenty of time to get a few more Christmas messages in, right? Decorate your houses, get pumped for the season. But we take these lessons with us for the rest of the year, right? Christmas simply highlights these truths. Joy is ours for the taking, no matter who you are. Hope is yours. Darkness is not the only option. Because through Christ, you can have hope, light. We remember that throughout the year that nothing is impossible with God. Some of us have mountains in front of us. And we're wondering, how are we going to get through this? And God's saying, not you, me. How will I get you through this? And we remember we need a Savior. But all this comes down to the fact that we need him. He came because there was a need inside each of us for him. And even as we claim him as Savior, we still have a daily need for him. Amen? Every hour. So this season highlights that. We don't just simply say, okay, cool, now we're done with the hope and the joy and all that stuff. Now we continue for the rest of the year and we'll forget about that or remember it again next year. No, we hold on to it. Do as Mary did, take it and ponder it in your heart. Yeah. Yeah, this is the truths of Christmas are not Christmas ornaments, right? Nice. Man, wish I would have talked to you yesterday about that. Worked it in here. Truths of Christmas are not Christmas ornaments. We don't pack them up at the end of the season and put them away, right? Remember them and take them with us for the rest of the year. They never come down, like that one weird guy in every city who leaves his ornaments and Christmas lights up all year long. But that's what we want the world to say about us. Wait, Christmas is over. Why are you still so happy and joyful? Why are you still like all amped up? Well, because Christmas is coming around next year, and I remember these truths are for all year. Oh, pretty much done. Let's pray. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for sending your Son because we need you. We need you daily. I ask, Father, that you help us ponder these truths in our heart. We don't pack them up. We take them with us for the remainder and the rest of the whole, all year long, we take them with us. We need you. Remember that because we have you, we have such hope. We have such joy. Father, we need you. We thank you, Father, for coming for us, for sending a Savior for us, those who need saving. So this morning, we worship you one last time together. Remember that we need you. Thank you for highlighting these truths this season. I pray, Father, that they become embedded and rooted in our hearts all year long. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.